Right, good evening, members again. Sorry we're running a little bit late. It's my fault. The first item is Chairman's notices, which are on page 4 of 6, involving the sound recording of meetings, what to do in the event of a fire, health and safety about the different flooring levels in the chamber, and the fact that this meeting is monitored and recorded by closed-circuit television. Thank you. Item 2 is Chief Executive, is apologies for absence, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, members. We have apologies this evening from Councillor Kane, Councillor Dobson, Councillor Hurd, Councillor Perlman, Councillor Pudney and Councillor Ms Lewis.
Item 3 is declaration of interests. Thank you. Will you add that, please? Thank you. All right. Declaration of interest. Item 3, to disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraphs 6 to 8 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. And I have to remind members that they are required to disclose any such interests as soon as they become aware should the need arise throughout the meeting. Councillor Boyce.
Thank you, Chairman. A non-pecuniary interest in agenda item 15, I believe, community-led housing. I'm a member of a community-led group in, i.e., Gilda Drake Almshouses.
Thank you very much. Councillor Pratt.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening. Yes, a member of Essex County Council, of which is a non-pecuniary interest, and item 15 also, I am a trustee of an almshouse trust.
Thank you very much. Councillor Savage.
A non-pecuniary interest, item 15, I'm also a trustee of a housing trust.
Councillor Mrs Channer.
Non-pecuniary interest, I'm a member of Essex County Council, and also likewise Councillor Boyce, I'm a member of the Henry Gilda Drake Almshouse Charity.
Thank you, Councillor Helm.
Thank you, Mr Chairman. Likewise, I'm also a member of the Henry Gilda Trust, item 15. Thank you.
Councillor Sismim.
Pecuniary interest in relation to my employment with Goldman Sachs in relation to the annual treasury outturn within Finance
and Public Services
Committee, item 9. Thank you. Leader. Thank you, Chairman. A non-pecuniary interest as a member of Essex County Council.
Any others? All done? Thank you very much. Right, we now move on to the minutes of, first of all, the meeting of the 10th of May, which, if you will bear with me 1 minute, I will attempt to go paperless. That is the trouble. You all have time to get yours all set up. Perhaps I should log it all on before I come into the room, should I? Agenda. Right. Now the first set are on pages 7 to 24. And we'll go through them page by page quickly. Okay, page 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24. Accept the minutes. Thank you. Then agenda item 5 is the minutes of the 17th of May 2018, and they are on pages 25 to 31. Page 25. Yeah. Thank you. Councillor Ms. Beale.
My apologies aren't noted.
Okay, I'm sure we can arrange that. Thank you very much. Page. Anything else on 25? 26. 27, 28, 29, 30, 31 and 32. Accept those minutes? Everyone happy? Oh, sorry, Councillor Miss White.
Resolve it.
So
I hadn't realised I
was
on. I hadn't noticed.
Well, if you don't know whether you came or not, we can't really change the. We can't really change it. I'm afraid.
Apologies. Maybe I was there. I thought I was there, but there you go.
Well, I'm afraid we'll have to leave it unless you can come with an amendment to the minutes. All right. So then we go on to six, which is the minutes of the 7th of June, 33 to 36, page 33. Page 34, and that's it. Short one, that one. No, 35, and they're blank pages, I think. Okay, accept those minutes. Item number 7 is public questions, and I believe we have none notified. Thank you very much indeed. And item 8 is chairman announcements, which I'm just about to be given. I have, although it's been a relatively short period since the last meeting, I have been to one or two very interesting businesses. I did a presentation of the medals at the Volfest, which was, there was a good turnout there. It's a pity they didn't get more customers, I thought. But I've been to a couple of civic services, two interesting businesses, Blackman and White and Carr's Flour Mills in Heybridge. And I was grateful for the Vice Chairman to carry out two engagements, one at Castle Point and one in the town here, and I'm grateful for his assistance. Thank you very much. And that's all, but they will be, there's several more, but they will be printed in the minutes. Thank you. Right, now we go on to the minute book, which is item 9, and we start off to consider the minutes of community services. Are you going to present those, Councillor Boyce, please?
Thank you, Chairman. Councillor Helms, mic still on.
Thank you.
I wish to present the minutes of the Community Services Committee held on the 22nd of May, contained on pages 37 to 42, for their noting and, if necessary, questioning.
Second to that, please. Thank you. Thank you.
Page 37, 38, 39, 40, 41. I can turn pages quicker than this. 42.
That's fine.
So move.
Thank you very much. Accept those minutes. Thank you very much. Now we come to the Planning and Licensing Committee, held on the 5th of June. They start on page 43, I think. Councillor Mrs. Channer, could you present them, please?
Thank you, Chairman. I rise to present the minutes of the Planning and Licensing Committee held in this chamber on the 5th of June, found on pages 43 to 53, and for noting, Chairman.
Seconder. Thank you, Councillor Pratt.
Page 43, I'm sorry, Chairman, this is a bit slow. Page 44, page 45, page 46, sorry about this.
It's all right, that's just the right speed for me as well.
47, page 48, page 49, page 50, page 51, and there's a recommendation on page 51, Chairman, little two, about two officers regarding scheme of delegation, regarding licensing. And then anything else on page 51? There isn't. Page 52.
Sorry, do you accept that recommendation, members? Thank you. Continue.
Page 53, Chairman, so move.
Thank you very much indeed. Everyone accept those minutes?
Yes.
Thank you very much. We move on now to the Overview and Scrutiny Committee, which was a late circulation. I hope you've got those.
Yes, sir.
We've got to find them somewhere. Councillor Helm, can you present those, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise to present the minutes of the overview of scrutiny committee held on the 6th of June in this chamber for your noting.
Seconder, please. Thank you, Councillor.
Page 3. Page 4. Well, hang on.
95, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100.
I can't believe.
101. Councillor Mr. Chandler, sorry.
Thank you, Chairman. Would the Chairman of the Overview and Scrutiny Committee agree with me that the resolve shown at the top half of the page, Nickel 1 and Nickel 2, Nickel 2 should in fact be a recommendation, and it should be a recommendation to the parent company from the Overview and Scrutiny Committee, because at the moment it indicates that Overview and Scrutiny Committee is directing the Director of Planning and Regulatory Services, which I don't think in its remit, but a recommendation to a relevant parent committee can be.
I agree with your comments. Thank you.
Can you propose the amendment then?
Can I propose the amendment?
Yeah. You need to propose it. Oh, this is what I'm waiting for.
There's one over there.
No, I'm not. Oh, can you help us?
Yeah.
Councillor Harker, we're looking for a recommendation to change this resolution, which we can't change the resolution.
Oh, next page.
You've asked a question.
Well, I asked a question.
And then I'm waiting for Councillor Helm if he's going to accept that.
Yes, I am accepting that, yes.
It's not a change in the resolution, it's just a...
Chairman, it should be a recommendation to the relevant parent committee, which is P&L, because it's river management matters.
That's all I wanted. I wanted
the
P&L.
And that request or recommendation could be given to that committee with reasoning, Chairman, as I understand it, or a report.
Are members in agreement with that?
Yeah.
Everyone?
Yep.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Helm. Continue.
147, second paragraph, where Councillor Hurd left the meeting and did not return due to sometimes working in the police station, should be added. Is everyone in agreement?
Yeah, agreed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Page 9. I so move.
Everybody happy? Thank you very much. Now we come on to the Finance and Corporate Services Committee, 12th of June. And there are a number of issues here. Councillor Sismi, will you present them, please? I think there's four issues to deal with.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, obviously, with the exception of Agenda Item 176, for which I'll step out in a moment, but in relation to the rest of the agenda, I rise to present the minutes of the Finance and Corporate Services Committee held in this chamber on the 12th of June 2018 and propose their reception and adoption.
Seconder? Councillor Shrimpton.
Okay, page 61, page 62, page 63 with a recommendation on page 64, page 65.
Is everyone keeping up?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Oh, I'm not.
No.
Oh, dear.
Right, we're on page 63, I think.
Oh, Mr. Chairman.
Tell me when you're at page 65.
Right. What page are you on, Councillor Sisney?
I'm on page 65.
Right. Is everyone on 65?
Yeah, we're all on 65.
Except me. Right. Keep going. I'm with it now.
Page 66 with a recommendation.
Accept that recommendation, members?
Yes.
Page 67. Councillor Fluker will present item 176 on page 67 and 68 in a second. Page 68, page 69 with a recommendation.
Accept that recommendation. Members?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Right, we need to go back then, just for a minute. Councillor Sismi, for the benefit of the tape, has left the room. And Councillor Fluker, can you present this item, please?
In touch with my environmental.
Hot weather.
Councillor Sismi,
he's left his own one on.
You're okay now.
I'm okay, thank you very much. In the absence of the Vice Chairman of the Committee, whose daughter I wish a happy birthday today, I rise to present
minute 176 on page 67, which goes on to page 68, and there is a recommendation on page 68, Chairman.
Everyone happy with that recommendation?
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
And on behalf of the Chairman, I so move.
Well done. Past this annex, haven't we now? Right, we now go on to item 10 of the agenda, which is the minutes of meetings of the committees, and to note these ones that have all been published, and also to note that the two at the bottom, in the bottom two boxes, are not finalised for publication. It's on the agenda. It's item 10. Everybody happy? Go back to the agenda. This is an agenda item. It's not a report. So go back to main agenda. And it's item 10 on the main agenda. Just press the little signpost box and press the agenda button. Okay. All right. We can wait till you've got it. It's not a problem. Ten. It's just a noting of the various committees on the main agenda. You all right now, Councillor Elliott?
Yes, I'm fine.
Well, I don't want anyone to be lost. Right. Just waiting for Mrs. Harker, I think. Yeah. Right. Is everybody happy with the minutes of the meetings of the committees, item 10? Right, thank you. Right, now we come to item 11, statement of the Leader of the Council. Leader, please.
Thank you very much. I will preface this, Chairman. Councillor Mrs. Thompson and Councillor Helm were present earlier today and witnessed the, let's just call it a kerfuffle with the speech that I'd written, which we thought had been saved to the C drive on the computer, disappeared completely. So it has had to be hurriedly rewritten. So, and I'm going to gallop through this. So, members, looking back at the last 12 months, there have been many successes for this authority. A long-awaited local development plan was adopted by the Secretary of State last July, possibly one of the most significant milestones for this council. We've certainly noted since then a change in the results of planning appeals since the adoption, but I think it's fair to say that on the odd occasion we're still getting some quite illogical decisions. Since adoption of the LDP, our emphasis has largely turned to the delivery of housing, which is a key priority for the government. Morden District Council cannot be accused of not shouldering its burden over the last year. Development has commenced on a number of strategic sites, which will provide a mix of both affordable and market housing for the residents of the district. Growth in employment, commercial and leisure sites has also occurred to meet the needs of the residents in both employment opportunities and also in recreation and health and well-being. With the LDP now in place, the Council has been able to adopt supplementary planning documents, including the Central Area Master Plan, the South Morden Garden Suburb Master Plan, the Renewable and Low Carbon Technology Guidance. The Morden District Design Guide, which was adopted as an SPD by the Council last December, became the worthy recipient of the Award for Design Excellence at the National Planning Awards earlier this month. The judges pointed to its ambition, its clarity, usability to achieve high-quality design and placemaking. All of the hard work done by the planning department has been against a backdrop of changes in national planning policy and the change requirements of the Council, with additional responsibilities to maintain a brownfield register, the self and custom build register, certification of our five-year land supply, and the housing delivery test. The Council's environmental health officers have been working closely with partner agencies and developers to maximise and secure funding towards flood mitigation, particularly in Heybridge, Central Maldon and the Causeway, and we continue to work to ensure those partner agencies consider local residents at every opportunity. Planning enforcement continues to be a priority for the residents of the district and the council as a whole. Some serious breaches of planning control have been resolved over the last year, whilst a number of successful prosecutions have been undertaken when people have not been willing to work with the council. The council will continue to protect the natural and distinct beauty of the district for its residents. The council's strategic housing service has maintained its progress of improving the council's response to those in housing need and has launched a new housing strategy setting out its aims and actions for the future. As a district, we have one of the lowest proportions of households currently becoming homeless and living in B&B and temporary accommodation, and have implemented new systems and ways of working as a result of the new Homelessness Reduction Act. Meeting the housing needs of an ageing population is where the council has a real opportunity to make a valuable contribution towards local people. The council was delighted to see its efforts and work with local communities to provide affordable housing attract royal attention and support this year as we welcomed Her Royal Highness the Princess Royal to the district in April. We will continue, of course, to work with our partners to build on this during the year ahead. The council's programme of capital improvements within its parks has been ongoing, with refurbishments to play areas, pathways and car parks all successfully delivered. Reducing waste and increasing recycling is one of the council's main objectives. The waste team is currently sourcing a company to provide a trial curbside textile collection service across the district. The aim is to provide every household with a collection of textiles on the same day as their pink sacks and glass bottles. Residents will be encouraged to still support the local charity shops. However, if they wish to, they can use the new service if desired. Creating opportunities for economic growth and prosperity across Maldon District remains one of the Council's primary goals. Our economic development team is actively engaging with local businesses and working with partners to deliver the objectives contained in the Economic Prosperity Strategy published in 2013, and we'll be producing an update this year. As micro-enterprises make up 90% of local businesses, SMEs and rural businesses will continue to be a focus of our efforts to sustain and grow the local economy and to make Maldon District a better place to live, to work and enjoy. The Sense of Place branding is now becoming better known, especially through the highly visible and striking hoardings that were erected outside the construction site for the new Blackwater Retail Park. Businesses are being encouraged to take up the branding, and the Sense of Place Board is providing business-led support for several projects, ranging from the visitor economy and events to skills. In March this year, the Council hosted the new Nuclear Local Authority Special Interest Group Annual Conference. The conference was held at the Crown Plaza Five Lakes Resort and attracted a record number of delegates from across the country. It was a significant event for the Maldon District. The primary aim of the new Nuclear Local Authority Group is to share knowledge, information and best practice regarding new nuclear facilities and to provide a mechanism for local authorities to discuss and make recommendations direct to government. The ongoing contribution of tourism to the local economy cannot be underestimated. The Promenade Park is still Maldon's main attraction, with over 500,000 visitors per annum, whilst over 40,000 children enjoyed the Splash Park last year. The Council's event programme continues to be a success, with the Promenade Park and Riverside Parks hosting many events, including the Maldon Car Show, which is this Sunday, the Smoke and Fire Festival, and for the first time, a Burnham Outdoor Cinema that attracted big crowds. The Denji Gateway project reached its conclusion this year, with new and exciting hubs of interpretation panels and audio posts arriving at five locations across the district, aiming to inspire visitors to explore more of the wonderful coastline, celebrating our salt marsh secret. The tourism website Visit Maldon District goes from strength to strength, seeing thousands of digital visitors a week. The website enables the council's tourism team to join up the many businesses and attractions to showcase this diverse and special district to those who may be less familiar with just how much we have to offer. Our social media presence has been increased with a new Promenade Park Facebook page and an Instagram account for the tourism website. During 2018-19, we will continue to have a sustained focus on our priority of strengthening communities to be safe, active and healthy. with significant work planned to support the health and well-being of our residents. Through a partnership with Essex County Council, we've secured funding for additional resource to support that work and are developing a Live Well strategy to give direction and focus to key health and well-being challenges that the district faces, such as obesity, social isolation and loneliness, mental health, as well as some of the issues faced by our ageing population. We proudly continue to support apprenticeships for our young people, which have to date provided 13 successful apprenticeship opportunities, and are delighted that these apprenticeships have resulted in those people either securing full-time employment at the end of their apprenticeships or moving to an advanced apprenticeship. We're currently exploring the best ways of utilising the apprenticeship levy to offer opportunities for the community across a variety of service areas. We continue to promote active and healthy lifestyles with our partner Places for People. High quality services are provided at the Blackwater Leisure Centre and Dengie Hundred Sports Centre, which welcomed over 564,000 visitors last year, a 10% uplift from the previous year. Council continues to work with Active Essex, delivering sporting activities including triathlons, cycling and running events, and badminton taster events. Members, however, there is no doubt that this year ahead will present us many challenges and difficult decisions to make. In order to become a financially secure and resilient authority, we must achieve the savings planned from the recently agreed transformation project. Regrettably, this will entail some changes to our workforce, but by initiating the new working methods, the day-to-day work for staff should actually become more interesting and rewarding, whilst improving the service to our residents. We have to find nearly £1.5 million of savings in the next 2 years to bridge the gap between our income and planned expenditure. With the help of our partners Ignite, we have a blueprint to remodel the authority and achieve these objectives within the necessary timescale. The entire ethos behind transformation must be to maintain or even improve services to the people of the Maldon District, whilst enabling the council to withstand the pressures on local government and avoid the tribulations being experienced by some other councils in the country. This administration will concentrate on providing the essential and value-added services for residents in the most efficient and financially resilient way it can. Chairman, I commend this statement to the council.
Thank you very much, Leader. Leader of the Opposition, would you like to respond?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. First of all, can I thank the Leader for providing me with this statement, considering the turmoil he had in losing it on his computer. We're in a difficult situation, we all know, as councillors, in the forthcoming years, etc. And we'll go through some of the better points of this speech. It's 10 years since I brought up about where is our local guide. It's here. And look what's happened with the response. We've now won, the Maldon District Council has won an award. And one thing I was interested in was whether or not we have a right to copyright it. There's been a tremendous amount of work done by our officers, etc., which could be easily plagiarised by every other council in the country. So we might as well protect it, what we've got, because it is that important. It says here, the council's environmental health and planning officers have been working together with partner agencies and developers to maximise and secure funding for the flood mitigation. I think one word ought to be put in there which should be in bold is hopefully. It's all right saying we are, but I think it's a case of we're working with planning agency and developers, hopefully, to maximise and secure funding, because it's not guaranteed yet. So I think if that indicates that when you read some of these documents later on in years to come, you might see it down and think, oh, well, it was agreed there, but it's not. We still haven't resolved it. Another item that you brought up was about in planning control. We still have got a massive backlog of enforcement, and I think that's got to be resolved as quick as possible. I know the officers are doing their best, but it's such a large backlog, I do hope that it will get resolved as soon as possible, and I hope other members agree with me on that. Couple of other items there. It's not all that much of a... I'm not attacking the council, it's pointing out exactly what the council should be doing and can be doing. The most important thing that's going to hit us now is because of reduction in the rate support grant. In the next few years, we're going to end up with our electorate out there saying, why are our rates going up? We haven't done anything out to, around here to say the position we're in. If you ask the general public, do you know your rate's going up? Why is that? Why haven't we put something in all the newspapers to indicate that we're in trouble, same as other councils are, by having our rate support grant reduced? What it's going to mean, it's not just a case of the ratepayers going to have an increase in their rates to pay, but they're going to have a Maldon District Council that's going to end up with reducing staff and redundancies. This is an important thing in our district. A lot of people, they might criticise the Maldon District Council, but a lot of them have a lot of good time with the council and a lot of good work with the council. And I believe that we shouldn't all take it on the chin when it's not really our fault. I know other councils are in it, but we've got to explain completely to our electorate the position we're in. So I hope something will be put in newspapers or press reports to indicate this predicament we're in, because it's going to be the biggest thing that's hit Maldon District Council for years. We've never had to before go out and indicate that we might have to have redundancies or work staff reduced and everything else like that. That hasn't happened for years, and we've taken on board the satisfaction we have with our staff, and certainly to find that there's going to be reductions created by this rate support grant being reduced is not anything we wanted at all. So I certainly hope that this will be reported to indicate our position. It does say in there, with the help of our partners, Ignite, we have a blueprint to remodel the authority. I think that's a bit strong to say, with the help of our partners. They're not partners. They're paid consultants. They aren't going to help take the burden. They can put forward suggestions for us, which we have to make a decision. But I do think it ought to be indicated that they are not our partners. They're not going to take the burden of this cost, etc. They're going to give a lot of very good advice, which we have to accept or not. But certainly a partner or something like that is a person that helps us take that burden. So that's the way I see that. Apart from that, Mr. Chairman, it's not all doom and gloom. We've still got a very, very effective council and also a very, very nice area. And I do hope that the general public, our electorate, understand the situation that we're in. So thank you for letting me have that speech early and make a comment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Councillor Beale. Any other member wish to ask a question of the leader's speech? No? Leader, would you like to sum up?
Well, no, Chairman, only just to say, thank you, Councillor Beale, rate support grant isn't actually being reduced, it's being abolished in 2020. So, I might just point out that although this has been known, this is the first year that we're actually doing something about it. We are working with Ignite in order to maintain the services we provide our residents, in order to try and keep taxes as low as we possibly can. And inevitably, this will mean changes to the way we carry out our business, and inevitably changes to the staffing structure of this authority. However, it might be said that this is one of the very, very few across the country that have yet to embark on this. And in terms of the council tax, I just might say that our increase this year was less than 10 pence per family per week in a Band D property. And I think what we offer our residents is extremely, extremely good value for money. So, Chairman, I will leave
Thank
it
you
at
very
that.
Much. Thank you. Right, we move on now, members, to item 413, which is the review of performance 17-18, and is found on pages 79 to 114. Leader?
Thank you very much, Chairman. I will refer to the Chief Executive for this report.
Thank you. Everyone got it?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Thank you, Chairman. This report sets out details of our performance for 2017-18 against our targets and corporate goals for the year. Pages 80 to 86 of the report provide some more specific achievements across the various services that we feel are worthy of note. Quite a few of those have just been mentioned by the leader in his leader speech. From this, you'll see that generally our services have performed particularly well. Our number of the performance targets are in top quartile, so it's been a good year, really. So the report's already been before the various programme committees and via overview and scrutiny, so members have had the opportunity to see it in detail already. But your officers are here if you've got any specific questions. Thank you.
Any questions, members? No? Happy to accept the report?
Great.
Thank you very much. I better have a seconder for that. The leader proposed it. Seconder to accept the report? Thank you, Mrs. Thompson. Okay. Item 14, committee terms of reference and scheme of delegation update. That starts on page 115. Thank you, Chairman. I defer to the Director of Planning and Regulatory Services for this report.
Thank you, Chairman. This report outlines the potential for a change to the terms of reference to the area planning committees. The change relates to the potential for members to call in an application when the application is amended. The amendments can occur occasionally after the 28-day member call-in has elapsed. When they do, on occasion, require reconsultation if the change is substantive. That normally is for 14 days, but the member call-in period isn't extended at currently. The proposed change, as set out in the report, would be that when there is a reconsultation, members would be able to call the application in during the 14-day reconsultation period. Whilst this is clearly a positive for members and it was requested by members, members should also be aware that there are possible implications, including that the decision on applications may not, in this case, be determined within the statutory time period, because the 14 days and then going to committee would push it past the statutory time, affecting our performance figures. However, I refer members to the recommendations, which are to either agree the proposed change or to leave the terms of reference as they are currently.
Any questions? Councillor Pratt.
Thank you, Chairman. I fully support the change, especially in the light of what happened in Burnham-on-Crouch. The Town Council has an active planning committee. They often, at the planning committee, call upon a district councillor to call an item in. But if it's been amended, it's outside the time. It's happened several occasions, and the parishes will struggle to understand why a district councillor can't call something in when they have just been consulted on it. They want it called in to be in the public interest to be discussed, so I fully support the amendment. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Mrs. Channer.
Thank you, Chairman. I do likewise. Councillor Pratt's one of the members, obviously, that has been affected by where an amendment's been made that is substantive, e.g. it changes the substance of the plan application was originally submitted. And there was another member that brought it to my attention too. And therefore, it seems only right to me that should a parish council be reconsulted and have a further day's 14 days consultation, the membership, because a member can look at the application for the 28-day period and there may not be a problem, but indeed that substantive change may also affect the member's mind and wish, therefore, that application to be called in. So I totally support it. Otherwise, I think members are disadvantaged when there is an amended plan which causes a change of substance in the process, and this gives that equality in the system. I hear what the director said about determination, but if you're consulting anyway, parish council viewpoint or other viewpoints may have an effect, so I think it's only reasonable that the members who highlighted it and this now coming forward is the right way forward, Chairman, so I would support.
Any other member? Oh, sorry, Councillor Fluker.
Thank you, Chairman. I would propose that we agree recommendation one, but I would like to pay tribute to Councillor Pratt, because I think you and I had several conversations about this, and it was actually you that drove me into taking the action that I did with the director, because clearly there was a flaw in the system. So I'm very grateful for you to bring that to our attention, and would propose that we agree option one, Chairman.
Thank you.
Could I just ask a question of the Director of Planning? Is that you mentioned our performance figures, but surely if an applicant wishes to make an amendment, and the I understand the clock starts when the first application goes in, but if he wishes to make an application which causes a deferral, surely that shouldn't be counted against us because it's being made by the applicant.
It still potentially could be.
Okay. That doesn't seem right to me, but there we go. Any other questions? Councillor Harker.
Well, one of the most undemocratic things this council did was do away with the parish trigger, of course. But what would help the present call-in process is if the validation process didn't take a lifetime. You've got 8 weeks from the day it arrives, and yet it can take up to 2 weeks before the application is validated. But by which time all the clock is already ticking and we start to run out of time. And
validation day.
It's when you stamp it, when it arrives on your desk, that's when... Well, that's
when
what I was
when
told.
When it's stamped for validation, the clock starts.
Okay, right.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm certainly happy to be corrected by the Director if this applies, but to my understanding, if an application arrives in a state that is actually valid, it becomes valid on the day it arrives, not the day somebody decides it's valid, as opposed to one that's invalid and other information has to be supplied.
Any other questions on this? Okay, everyone happy?
Recommendation.
Thank you very much. Yes, it's agreeing with that recommendation one. Okay. So can we move on now? Item 15, Anglia Ruskin's University Build Factory proposals for adoption as a corporate project to support community-led housing. Pages 121 to 126. Leader?
Thank you very much. Again, I defer to Mr. Gaylor for this item.
Chairman. Good evening, members. This is rather an unusual report, in as much as what we're asking for is just a formal recognition from the council of the opportunity for the council's housing service to work with the local university in progressing the programme community-led housing. The university has got a good reputation for training people in the construction industry and is looking to see how they can actually progress into working locally and supporting small builders and businesses with construction on a small scale of homes to meet local need. The council has expertise and knowledge in some of those areas and certainly identifying local need and working with local communities in the provision of affordable housing. And together, there's a lot of mutual benefit bringing those two skills into one group, if you like. The proposal doesn't envisage at this stage any additional funding or any formal partnering as such, but it is helpful should there be opportunities in the future for funding to show that each organisation is endorsing the aims of the other. If there's any questions, Chairman?
Councillor Boyce.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Paragraphs 3.2 and more specifically 3.3. Can Mr. Gaylor expand on how an uplift can actually happen? Because if the if a tender has gone out and contractors have tendered for it, how can there be any uplift in profit, as it were, that to be shared amongst the partners?
Can you answer that, Mr. Gaylor, please?
Yes, but one of the concepts which the university is keen to look at is, for example, working under a more cooperative way where the
contractors would be an equal partner with the landowner, with a housing provider, and especially if it's for affordable housing, the land value is commensurately lower. But the uplift could actually be that, if you like, this could be shared across partners as a partnership rather than just as a contractor you're coming in to provide at a single fixed cost, and the uplift is then retained just by the landowner themselves, or often, as is the case, by a developer.
Councillor Pratt.
Thank you, Chairman. I fully support the recommendation. And whilst I'm on my feet, can I just say what a great report it is and how much we're going to miss Mr. Gaylor. I know I'm not the first to say it, and hopefully I won't be the last this evening, but I will miss him, and I wish him well in his new venture.
Councillor Sisman.
Yeah, can I associate myself with those remarks as well? And I don't want to rain on Mr. Gaylor's parade, but I'm a little bit sceptical about, well, I think this is a Lord of Lame, but I'm a little bit sceptical that in practice there are going to be significant benefits, because I think that the cost savings that might materialise actually will be offset by inefficiencies relative to the private sector doing this. But we'll see. I don't think, it doesn't look like it's a significant contribution at the moment in terms of either human resource or any other type of resource. And I note that in the report it says that there's no impact at all. But at the same time, I'm not sure how we can provide much of mutual support to one another if there isn't any kind of resource contribution. But at this stage, it seems like it's a modest commitment, and I'm happy to support it from that perspective.
Any other member? So, Leader, will you propose the two recommendations be accepted?
I'm more than happy to do so, Chairman. If
second,
there's a second,
please. Councillor Pratt, or several places. All those in favour? Jolly good, that's covered. Now, I'm just going to interject here for a moment, and Councillor Pratt has stolen my thunder to a degree. But I'd just like to say, Mr. Gaylor, that it's actually, I think, your last day tomorrow, although you're already coming back on Monday for a special event. So, and I think we're going to see a little bit of you for a few months anyway, which will be lovely. But just, I'd like to congratulate you on behalf of the members. You're very worldly wise, and the technical offer that you've given to members and your expertise, coupled with your very pleasant demeanour, has made you a real hit with members. And I think on behalf of members, we will sorely miss you, and we wish you for the well for the future. And I think the Chief Executive wants to present a small gift to you from the corporate leadership team.
Thank you all very much. I felt so comfortable sitting here. I'm probably more comfortable than some of you, but I guess that's a good sure sign it's probably time to move on. But thank you all very much for your help and support. It's appreciated.
Right. Item 16, there are no special circumstances for any other business. And item 17 is a proposal to resolve that under section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following items of business on the grounds that it involves likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of schedule 12A to the Act, and this satisfies the public interest test. A proposal, please. Thank you. Ms. Thompson, seconded. Councillor Elliott. Thank you.